Pastor Doug here from Crossroads. It's great to be with you. I hope that today's message will draw you closer to Jesus.
When I was 13, my family got a chance to go on vacation in California. And so we took full advantage of it. We did all the stuff you do out there. We went to the beach, we went to the Santa Monica Pier, we went to Disneyland. But the thing I was most excited about was getting to go to Universal Studios. I was a movie fanatic even back then. And so we got to go to Universal Studios to the back lot tour. We're going to see movie sets and movie rides, and it was going to be great. Now, through some connection with my mom, she had somebody from work, I think, who could provide us with tickets. And so we showed up to Universal Studios, and we went to the will call window. And lo and behold, there were 5 tickets for our family of 4. And we came off the side, we're like, oh, wow, okay, all right. What do we do with this extra ticket? And I think it was probably my dad or something said, let's give it away to somebody. And what was really cool about this is he allowed my brother and I to participate in picking out who we got to give the ticket to. And I remember feeling like that was such a cool experience, and that was such a cool thing to do. So we picked out this dad and his like 10-year-old son, and we gave him the ticket. And it stuck out in my mind because I remember feeling really excited about that opportunity. I remember feeling really, really good about being able to do that. And just this bit of like, I don't know, it probably wasn't the first time, but it was one memory of mine when I was younger that sticks out of, in some small way, in some little bit, I got the opportunity to participate in making an impact on somebody in just even a minor way to make their day better. And I thought that was really cool. And I enjoyed that. Now, I think for most of us want to live lives of impact. We want to be able to make a difference in the world. We want to live lives of meaning and purpose. Now, those of us who follow Jesus, we know we are called to reach people. We are called to reach people. But many of us struggle with how. How do we do that? You know, for some of us, we say, you know what, I'm just not an evangelist. I am not that person. Others say, I'm not a real outgoing person. I just don't have the personality that makes it easy to do that. And maybe for others of you, you've seen outreach opportunities, or you've seen things that people have done in the past, and you didn't like them. Or maybe you even participated in some of them that you didn't like. And so it's just really difficult sometimes for some of us. How do we do that? How do we reach people for Jesus? And then what Pastor Doug talked about in our sermon last week is many people, when they talk about how they came to Jesus, reference conversations and friendships with people around them. So, what if there was a way for you to have an impact on the world around you? To live a life where people actually started coming to you and asking you about your faith. A way that would deepen your relationships. And it just by integrating a few habits into your daily life. Well, that's what this series is all about. This series is called Surprise the World. And there's 5 specific habits for this series that we're going to be diving into. And if we integrate these habits into our life, it will cause us to be more missional. It will allow us to reach more people, not with a bullhorn, but with daily habits. And it will help us live questionable, intriguing lives to the people around us. And those 5 habits are bless, eat, listen, learn, and sent. And today we are going to be taking a deep dive in that first habit, to bless. And with each one of these habits comes a challenge. And this challenge is designed to kind of give you handles on how you can work at making this a habit. So the challenge right up front is, the challenge is to bless 3 people each week, at least one of whom is not a member of the church. That's your challenge. Now, if we're going to do this, if we're going to take on this blessing challenge, we probably should talk about what it actually means to bless people. So let's do that a little bit. What is the definition of bless? We'll start there. To bless someone is to confer or invoke divine favor upon, to ask God to look favorably upon someone. In other words, to cause prosperity and happiness in someone else. A blessing is something that can build others up, that can encourage others, that can relieve a burden. And this first habit is all about us becoming people who bless other people, to become blessers. Now, why is bless one of the habits? Why is this one of the big five habits that we're talking about? What difference does blessing actually make? So we're going to take a look at a story where Jesus had an opportunity to bless someone. And I'm hoping by the end of the story, you will see that blessing is a powerful habit that will change the relationships around you, help you live a questionable, intriguing life, and have real impact. So we're going to be in John chapter 2. And we're going to be starting out at right at the beginning of verse 1. And it says this: on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Now, a little bit of background on Jewish weddings. Jewish weddings were big, giant, long parties. They were some of the most important social aspects of the ancient Jewish communities, and they could last as long as a week. So these were big, big deals. And to run out of wine was a huge, huge problem. It would have been a major social embarrassment for the couple, for their family. See, failure to provide hospitality in that culture would have been a major, major disgrace. See, this was a tight-knit community, and that would not have been forgotten quickly. It would have had far-reaching implications for them and their future life. It is not exactly a great way to start out as a couple. So this is a big problem. And if you've ever been embarrassed in front of people, if you've ever experienced being socially shunned, you can understand that this can be a major devastation. It can have huge devastating effects. So Mary hones in on this. Mary spots the problem, and Mary understands the implications of what's going on here. And she decides, I'm going to take an active role in helping this problem get fixed. Mary saw this problem as an opportunity to provide a blessing. See, when you make blessing a habit, you begin to see and recognize opportunities to bless others. So Mary goes to Jesus, and Jesus kind of tacitly objects to having to get involved here. So in verse 4, he says, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." So Mary then proceeds to ignore Jesus and ignore his objections. She says, his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, this is like kind of a classic mother tactic. I'm going to tell you to do something, and then I'm just going to ignore when you object and assume you're going to do it anyway. And that's exactly what happens. But Mary is dedicated to acting. See, people with the habit of blessing act. See, recognition of an opportunity is one thing. Acting is something else entirely. Have you ever seen an opportunity maybe to help someone or to encourage someone or to give a compliment, or maybe you thought of a great gift for somebody and then you didn't do it? You ever experienced that? Probably most of us have. Maybe we even feel a little bit of regret about it. Acting on the opportunities is majorly important. So Mary recruits Jesus. Jesus gets on with the helping. Verse 6. Nearby stood 6 sewn water jars, the kind that were used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did so. So Jesus has the servants gather these big jars of water, and then he proceeds to turn that water into wine. So what do we learn from that? Well, we learn that in order to bless people, we got to provide them with alcohol. In fact, we're going to take this super seriously. You think that construction was just about the floor? It was actually about us installing a secret microbrewery. And then we start the sommelier classes next week. That's probably an over-literal reading of this story. But what we actually see here, is that Jesus steps in to relieve someone else's burden. See, blessers are burden relievers. And the burden in this case is having nothing to serve your guests. Now, when you bless somebody, it always has an impact. So what impact did Jesus' blessing, turning the water into the wine, what blessing did that have? What was the impact there? So let's look at verse 9. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants had drawn the water new. We'll continue on here. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." All right. Blessing always has an impact. Now, maybe it's not always the impact you intended. Maybe it is. But it always has an impact, and it always has a ripple effect. And that's one of the reasons why blessing somebody is such a great way to live a questionable, intriguing life. So let's look at specifically how it impacted some of the people in this story. And we're going to begin with the master of the banquet. So the master of the banquet receives this. He gets to taste the wine, and immediately he is blown away. You can almost feel when you read it, his mood lift. We now have all this mouth-watering wine to serve. He was euphoric. Or maybe the wine was just that good. I don't know. But if you have ever hosted or catered an event, you understand what he was going through here. You are constantly stressed out about supply management. How many people are going to show up? Do I have enough food? There's always extra people that show up. How many extra people do I plan for? What if people eat more than I am anticipating? And it's always a stressful thing to do. And then if you run out, then you have to explain to everybody that you ran out. That's a really bad day. So when he all of a sudden realizes there's more wine, he is highly encouraged. Now, this is kind of an unintended consequence of Jesus' blessing. I don't know that he was necessarily intending to encourage the master of the banquet, but as a result of the blessing, he did. And that's the impact blessings can have. See, blessers are also encouragers. Let's take a look at another person impacted. And that person is the groom, of course. Going back to verse 10 there, he said, "Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, 'Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now.'" See, the master of the banquet doesn't know where the wine came from. So he goes to the groom and he assumes it was a strategic choice on the groom's part. He's amazed at the quality of the wine. Now, just as a brief aside here, something I want to hit on. Jesus didn't just make wine. Jesus made great wine. And this was not what people would have expected. Jesus cared about quality. Now, had he just done mediocre wine, nobody would have cared. It would still have been a blessing because they would have still had more to serve and nobody would have noticed or been anywhere the other wine. But Jesus wasn't having any of that. He wasn't going to get like the gas station end cap display wine. No, he was going to do like the hidden wine cellar wine, like the kind you have to flip a switch and then the spiral staircase appears in the floor and you got to go down and get it. That kind of wine. See, one thing that I've observed in some sections of Christianity and the Christian mindset is sometimes we think a lack of quality or a lack of excellence is somehow a virtue. And it isn't. Jesus cares about quality. Jesus cares about excellence because it speaks to how we feel about people when we give things of quality, when we give things that are excellent. And the quality of the wine actually ended up being a big part of the blessing here. You see, the master of the banquet gives credit to the groom for this. And don't overlook that impact. See, the groom went from having no wine to serve to having great wine to serve. What was shaping up to be a monumental social embarrassment all of a sudden becomes something that gains him social capital, that increases his reputation within the community. The blessing built him up. It shone him and his family in a great light. See, blessers also build up other people. And the ripple effect of the blessing just continues radiating out and out and out. It hits the master. It hits the groom. It hits the bride and their family by default. And it hits the guest. The party gets to go on. One blessing truly did make a remarkable difference at the wedding at Cana. But the impact wasn't done. There's one more group of people who was affected. And John chapter 2, verse 11 says this. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And his discipleship, his disciples, believed in him. See, as a result of this miracle Jesus did here, his blessing, it enhanced the faith of his followers. It brought them closer to Jesus. Now, of course, Jesus is doing a miracle here. He's using his godly power. It was an uncommon case. However, blessing someone doesn't require a miracle or even something that grand to move people towards Jesus. See, what happens here? If we take this seriously, this habit of blessing people, the habit of blessing starts working on you first. As you work towards trying to bless three people every week, we start paying more attention to others. We start looking for opportunities. We start acting in the world, acting to bless other people. All of a sudden, we find ourselves becoming more generous with our time, with our energy, with our resources. People start to want to be around us a little bit more. People start getting close to us. And then eventually people start asking us questions. Why are you always doing things for people? Why are you always encouraging people? What's going on with you? What's happening in your life? And that's what it means to live a questionable life, to live an intriguing life. People start coming to you and saying, what's going on? I see what's happening with you. What's happening? And now we have our opportunity. Now we have our opportunity to have that conversation about what's going on in our lives, about the work of Jesus in our lives. See, every single one of us is capable of having that kind of an impact on people. The people around us, in our church, in our community, and for the kingdom of God. If we cultivate the habit of blessing in our lives. So let me ask you a question. What would happen in your life if you made blessing others a habit? What would happen? What type of impact could it make? What would happen if every single one of us here this morning became a blesser? How would it impact our families, our neighborhoods, Mount Joy, Elizabethtown, Maytown? How about our schools and local areas? What would be impacted if we all did this? I have no idea. But can you imagine waking up in the morning, not knowing how God is going to use you to bless somebody else, but knowing that he's going to? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that kind of an adventure? An adventure worth living? And we can get there if we're willing to recognize opportunities, to act on those opportunities, and to make it a habit to bless other people. All right, so let's talk about specifics. We've talked about the impact that blessing can possibly have. How do we do it? What does it look like in daily life to actually bless other people? We're going to hit kind of three categories of ways we can bless other people. And the categories are acts of kindness, gifts, and words of affirmation. And I really recommend using a combination of all three. Become masters of each three categories. That way, depending on the circumstance, depending on the situation, you have the opportunity to use whichever one is appropriate. Now, some of them you're going to feel more comfortable with than others. But let's walk through them a little bit and see where we're at. So let's start with acts of kindness. An act of kindness is anything that lightens the load on somebody else. Anything you do that lightens the load in any way can be considered an act of kindness and a blessing. Holding the door is an act of kindness. Carrying groceries for somebody is an act of kindness. Raking someone's leaves is an act of kindness. Helping someone move is an act of kindness. Now, before my parents got a snowblower, their neighbor had one. Occasionally, when the snow came, he would come out and snowblow their sidewalk. That's an act of kindness. And acts of kindness can be specific. You can choose a specific person and say, I'm going to do an act of kindness for you. Maybe you see a family who's just been super, super busy. And you say, I'm going to pick that family and I'm going to babysit for them so they can have a night out. Now, when we first had Olivia, several people did us an act of kindness by coming to our house and helping us with things like cleaning or organizing to get things ready for a baby. That's an act of kindness. So act of kindness can be specific. It can also be random. You can bless a random person for any random reason. Speaking of snow, one of the things I like to do when I'm in a parking lot and I've got to clean the snow off my car is I'll just clean off the car next to me. I have no idea whose that car it is. So by definition, it's random. But you can do random acts of blessing. Or acts of kindness can be opportunistic. One time I was in the airport and I was trying to get my luggage off the spinning corral. And I noticed this small, tiny little girl. I mean, she might have been 5 foot. And she had these massive suitcases that she was like trying to drag off of the conveyor belt. And they were practically like carrying her along. And so I'm like, all right, I got to help out in this situation. And so I grabbed them off and for her. And we got to talking and it turns out she was like moving to the air. And literally all of her stuff was coming off this plane. And so that's opportunistic. I wasn't planning on that. It's just something I saw in the moment. Maybe some of you have had something like that. Maybe you've come across someone who needed their car jumped. And you've been able to provide that as an opportunistic act of kindness. But all of these are great opportunities to bless somebody else. Gifts. What about gifts? Gifts are a great way to bless people because they have the capability to show that people are cared for, that they're known, and that they're valued. Now, gifts can be need-based. You can give gifts based on someone who needs something. If you know a family is struggling financially, maybe a donation of a week's worth of groceries is a great way to give a gift based on need. Or someone's moving into a brand new house and you have extra furniture and they need some more furniture to help out. That is an awesome way to give based on need. But gifts don't have to be based on need. They can be random or they can be thoughtful. One really good example of a thoughtful gift, if you've ever been in Pastor Jeff's office, he has this cool poster that looks like a baseball card. And it's actually like the lead singer from one of his favorite bands dressed up in Phillies garb. And it was given out as a special edition when they played a concert at one of the Phillies games. And he really wanted one of these posters and missed out on his opportunity to get it. And then not too long ago, one of these posters randomly showed up for him. Turns out our former pastor, Sean, had made a mental note that he wanted this poster. And when he came across it at some point, he thought about it, got it, and sent it to him. That's a great example of a thoughtful gift. Gifts can be expensive or free. They can be big or they can be small. Now, I have heard many, many stories of people, probably some people in here, who at some point in their life were given a car. That's an expensive gift. But not every gift has to be expensive. When I worked at the movie theater, one of the things that I got was I got free tickets all the time. So I would all the time give out free tickets to movies for people. That cost me absolutely nothing to do that. But gifts can be big or small. One story of a pastor that I heard, he loves to play pickup basketball. And every time he goes to play pickup basketball, he just packs a small cooler full of Gatorade. And then when there's a break in the action, he just hands out Gatorade. Just a small gesture. But it's a great way to give a gift and be a blessing. Gifts can make a huge difference. And the third one, words of affirmation. Now, in some ways, words of affirmation are actually the easiest one of these to do. But for some of us, it's the hardest. We don't like doing this. It's hard for us to communicate what we're thinking or what we're feeling, or we feel awkward about saying stuff. So let's go through a few ways in which we can use words of affirmation to bless people. One of them is to use compliments. I like your sweater. Your hair looks really nice today. Compliments. Compliments are a great way to use words of affirmation to bless people. Most of the time, if you've received one of these, as long as it wasn't done in a terrible way, you feel better. You feel good. It gives you a little bit of a pickup. So compliments is a great way to use words of affirmation. Another one is encouragement. Man, I saw you talking to that newer person this morning. I saw you say hi and introduce yourself. That was a great job. I just wanted to let you know I noticed. Keep it up. I see you trying. I see you've been going through something tough, and you're really, really trying to get through it. Keep up the good work. You're doing a great job. Encouragement is an awesome way to use words of affirmation. We can use words of affirmation to talk about character development or effort. I admire your strength. I admire your compassion, your diligence. You know, I've really, really seen you grow. Another one is thank yous. Don't forget thank yous. Sorry about that. Thank yous are a big thing. Don't forget to be thankful for common everyday things. Thank you for making dinner. Thank you for doing the laundry. Thank you for doing that maintenance project around the house. Those are great examples of when we can use thank yous. So to summarize, there are three ways to bless people: words of affirmation, gifts, kindness. And in those categories, there are limitless options for you. Limitless ways in which we can bless people. Now, a quick word of caution on this. As we're looking into the opportunities to bless people, let's make sure that what we're doing is actually a blessing to people. Here's a verse from Proverbs 27. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. I don't think truer words were ever spoken. When you're trying to bless people, make sure it's an actual blessing. Now, sometimes you don't know, but sometimes in order to make something a blessing, get to know the person a little bit. Use what you know about them as a calibrator to determine whether or not a blessing is a good blessing. So our first habit is bless. And your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to bless three people each week, at least one of whom doesn't attend Crossroads. And you can fill that out in your connection card if you're willing to start doing that. This is not a short-term thing. This is supposed to be something that's a regular habit. We're not just going to say, hey, let's do it this week and then we're done with it. We want you to integrate this into your life on a weekly basis. And it's an entirely different mindset. Think of it as the difference between a diet and eating healthy. A diet is something you grit through for a short amount of time. Eating healthy is a lifestyle. Short-term versus long-term. And on average, research tells us it takes at least 3 weeks of doing something in order for it to start becoming set as a habit in our lives. So as we look to start blessing people, think about how you can continue doing this, how you can integrate it into your daily life. Now, this is a great opportunity to connect with your community group when you talk about this. Come up with strategies, come up with ways in which you can do this. And if you haven't yet signed up for a group, now's the time. Now's the time. Come see me out there. We'll get you signed up. Let's pray. Jesus, God, we thank you for today. And we thank you for the opportunity you've got to help us grow. To help us grow in our ability to minister to others. To reach out to others. To bless them. God, as we look at trying to integrate these five habits into our lives, God, would you give us strength and conviction to be able to do it? That we would learn to bless other people. And that we would take it seriously. God, there's so much good we can do. There's so many ways in which we can impact others. Let's see what you have in store for us. In your name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. Any step you take towards Jesus is a step in the right direction. You can find out more about us at crbic.org. That's crbic.org.